Hey everyone, we got the chance to play Respawn and EA's Star Wars Jedi Survivor this past week. We played the first 3 hours and we got the chance to talk to some developers. Jeff Majors, the design director on the game, and Blair Brown, one of the senior producers. This is our interview with them, diving into everything that we're excited for in Star Wars Jedi Survivor. So my first question is the world. It is so immersive. There is so much detail put into the flora and fauna as much as the enemies that you're fighting. I wanted to ask what came into kind of creating a layered environment and an environment that doesn't always need you to attack.
Yeah, we've got a variety of kind of pillars in our game. One is combat, obviously.
Yeah.
We had a lightsaber. Exploration is a huge pillar for us, especially in this game. Wanted to expand the exploration and make just a very rich world to explore. We wanted to pique the player's interest kind of any direction they go. Part of that is to have fauna and flora that you can find that's interesting. Stumble across different caves with different types of gameplay mixed in. Traversal, combat, puzzles as well.
Passionate people on the project. So, like, some artists are really into flowers and fauna and trees, and we let them go. Like, this is an alien world. Go make some really cool plants that make sense for the biome that we've decided we want to do for this planet. You're playing Kobo, which is like, I don't know how to explain it, like a deserty, but not. So, there's some cactuses and things like that. And it's about tying those into how can we get them into gameplay a bit. So, some plants you'll be able to cut down, they'll give you seeds. And they plant them somewhere that you probably haven't reached yet, but yes, things like that.
Yeah, and with Star Wars, you've just got, in just the greater Star Wars universe, you've got a lot of cool fauna and things like that. So it's just kind of part of the tradition as well.
And there's something beautiful about the worlds that you have created. One, how they integrate with gameplay, but also how they fit into the larger Star Wars universe by, one, presenting stuff that we haven't seen before, but yet still feeling so a part of the mythos. What goes into creating something new while also making sure you're honoring the legacy?
It's working very closely with Lucasfilm. They have a Lucasfilm Games Group that we meet with every day. It's a different meeting, but yeah. We meet with different teams like that each day. And it's, we'll push of like, let's get crazier, let's get weirder. And they're the balance of, we still need to keep it within the IP, and so it makes sense in the larger world. Because it is an authentic story, and we're making real, even when we make a new planet, we're making real planets that exist in their universe now. So it's just working really closely with them to make sure the tone, the look, the feel, all feel like Star Wars. We're also big Star Wars fans ourselves.
Yeah,
I was going to say
that, like, we look at, we bring this up and it delights us too, you know? Like, we look at the rest of the universe and also want to bring in the stuff that we think is cool. And show that off too.
It's like, oh, we saw this droid and that thing. We get it in the game. We talk with them. We figure it out. And it's a fun collaboration.
And I think one of the elements that I really appreciate, the first thing I did was I went in and made my lightsaber and droid pink because that's my color. What went into creating that, to adding that level of customization, which kind of, I don't want to say disrupts, but it allows a little bit of personalization in such a cohesive world.
This game, that was actually our new pillar. So we added a pillar just for customization in this game because we felt that we could do more after last game. And it's kind of for two reasons, I think. One, to let the player make BD and Cal their own and their lightsaber and have a greater connection with the avatar that they're playing. And the other thing is to support exploration, go back into exploration, because it gives us richer rewards in the world for exploration. So there's more ways to customize your character, and there's more things to find in the world when you explore.
I am a huge traversal person. That's one of the reasons why I love Respawn. Like, y'all nail traversal in a way that I don't think any other devs really do, because you all, like y'all have already mentioned, making sure that the environments that you're in fuel what you're doing as a player. Are there any elements of traversal that you think were particularly special in this game? And how they relate to the overall environment that you're in?
I'm just going to say I love the new one that we put in very early, which is the grapple cable. The extension cable, sorry.
Yeah, extension cable.
It just made Cal so much faster, dynamic. It felt really, really cool. So it's yeah, that's my favorite.
Absolutely, that's my favorite too. It's my favorite edition. I'd say we went back over everything in Jedi Fallen Order as well and took a look at everything and tried to up the responsiveness and make everything feel even better that came from the last game while adding new things like the Ascension Cable, which gives us some really, it adds a cool flow to traversal, as well as a little bit of forgiveness. It gives us kind of almost an accessibility to some of the traversal moves because it's got this forgiving range where you can grapple into other traversal elements from a further distance. So in some cases, it can make a complicated sequence of wall runs and other traversals a little bit easier by mixing in a grapple in between.
And looking at the previous game, finding the pain points and wanting to improve on them, like making Cal climb faster at the start of this game, adding the extension cable, not having to press an input to connect to a wall or something like that. Just made him feel faster, more fun, more agile.
And adding these things allowed us to still have skill. I mean, there's still skill-based traversal and platforming throughout, but it's just a little, we still also feel better.
I will say, my platforming heart was very happy with how simple it was, but also how complex it is as we move through it. Because I tried to put some jumps in where I didn't need to jump, so I may have fallen off some things, but that's the fun of it. I also wanted to ask, when you're crafting a world and you're thinking about moving through the world, how do you connect the visuals with the story? So, like, this is a better question in my head. When you're designing out a level, we know that the character and how you're moving through it and as being the avatar and attached to it, you're going to be interacting with the world in a very tactile way. How do you bridge the gap between a narrative that you're watching and a narrative that you're playing?
It's all collaboration. We've got so many talented devs in the team that we're all working together. So we've got level designers working with environment artists, working with narrative designers and writers, and everyone taking a look at the same level together and finding spots where we can mix in the traversal elements, the combat elements, the narrative moments, of course, echoes and scans that you see in the dialogue between BD and Cal. And then the environmental storytelling as well with the artist. Like, it's just really collaboration and iteration. Like, I don't think there's a magic answer there. It's just everyone working together and caring and being passionate together.
Yeah, we create small groups that will own a level, includes an artist, a writer, designer, multiple designers, multiple writers. And it's their job to be like, okay, the big story beat of this level is this. How to make that feel good and tell the story of that moment leading to that moment together. And they get a lot of ownership on that, which I think makes the levels unique and fun and have a lot of personality.
I think a larger question when we think about narrative, you know, y'all mentioned us staying on the golden path today. What goes into creating an expansive world where exploration is key with your side quests and the rumors, but also making sure people still come back to the main story? Like, how do you bridge those two pieces?
Well, we always have our main objective pulling. So we still have one main objective, for the most part, throughout the game that you can always come back to, and you can check your map and look, this is what I'm supposed to be doing for the story. But we want to give the players the excuses to take a look in that cave over there or see what's behind that hatch, and just kind of follow their curiosity as well. So when players are playing it, they're not asked really to do the main path. The only reason we're saying that is just time.
We only got 3 hours, yeah.
But when we see players play the game and play tests and things like that, like, some players will just bust through the main path, and that's great. They want to focus on the story. They really are invested in those moments. Some players will do every single thing they can that's available to them before going to the main path, and that's awesome too. So we want to support all these different play styles.
We try to also not create like a task list for people.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
go to this one person, get 20 quests, and now you're doing that instead of the main quest. We try to always have, like Jeff said, the main quest, the golden thing, the thing you gotta see anytime you open the map or your journal, but also just little hints of, you should maybe check that out. There's a little thing, but it's not like a, go over there, save this person, bring them back, you get 5 gold, or anything like that, which I think lets you explore at your own pace. You don't feel overwhelmed with the things you got to do, which is what I feel sometimes. So
I think an interesting thing about our rumor system, which we're introducing in this game, is that they point you to content that exists in the world. So they point you to something interesting that's there, whether you find the rumor or not.
Yes.
So you can find the rumor and talk to an NPC in the world and get more information about the environment and also a little prod in the direction of there's going to be something cool over there. But if you're the type of player that just wants to kind of explore the expanses, look at the map, see where you haven't explored, that's fully supported too, and you're going to find a lot of cool stuff that way too.
I think y'all kind of really capture the beauty of Star Wars in that it's a lot of stories that get told over time that then tell our characters to go somewhere else. You look at the Star Wars movies, the shows, there's always a rumor that starts and pushes into it. So, I just wanted to applaud you all on, bringing that in. I'm a gigantic Star Wars fan. You kind of mentioned players being allowed to play how they want to. One of the things I noticed was a really comprehensive difficulty system and one that you can change at any time. I'm used to a standard, maybe three different choices to pick from, but you all really have a whole gambit for people to adjust and enjoy. What went into the thought behind having such a, I don't want to say complex, but a comprehensive system of difficulty?
The first game, when we started doing player testing and bringing people in who were Star Wars fans, but maybe not gamers,
yeah.
Being like, oh, we made a really hard game. We need to understand that 50% of the people that are going to play this probably aren't big gamers.
Yeah.
Or hardcore gamers, and we want them to be able to enjoy the story and have fun and swing the lightsaber and feel like a Jedi. So we made story mode and then I think three difficulties in the first game.
Yeah,
no, we just
master.
Iterated it some more this time with Jason, the lead combat designer. Really wanted to add the new one is Padawan.
Mm-hmm.
It's in between story and knight, and it's just we want to give people more options. I think that's important so that everybody can play, everybody can get through the story, and we don't want you to miss Cal's journey, even if you're not a crazy hardcore gamer. So I think it's just important to us as a studio that more people can play it and enjoy it.
Yeah, we felt that there was a pretty decent gulf between story and knight last time. So
yeah.
Having that one that is still skill-based, still has difficulty in Padawan, but a little bit easier than knight. We thought we'd catch more players there. Also, this game we added what's the navigation assist, which is kind of like difficulty as well, but for navigating the map. So there's this new feature where if you open your map and you have this on, it will highlight the gate in the map that leads to the main objective. So players that had difficulty looking at the map last time, we have kind of some helpers this time to help push them to the main path of the game.
When you're looking at your player base, whether it is somebody who's brand new to video games or somebody who's brand new to Star Wars, that seems, I'm going to say difficult, but a really thoughtful task to do. You're trying to make it for everyone. Were there any pieces that really stick out to you that you think that you can't wait for fans of just anybody to come and play? That you think will land with the hardcore Star Wars fans and the hardcore gamers? Do you think there's a place where they meet that you're really excited for?
Honestly, I think that so much in the game is for people that love Star Wars and also don't care about Star Wars. I think it's a fun game without the Star Wars wrapper, and the Star Wars wrapper gives it a lot more. It's not just a wrapper.
Yeah.
It's well integrated too, but I can't think of one example. We make the game for the players at heart, and we want it to, every bit of it to be fun for anyone picking it up. And there's no, you don't need Star Wars knowledge coming in, but of course you'll get a deeper understanding of the lore and stuff like that if you have it.
Are there any things in the game, or if you could think of one moment that just really satisfies you that you want somebody else to experience? If you had to pick one story beat, obviously no spoilers, but just one element. It could be a tree that you think is really pretty, but just a piece.
There's one I'm excited for, but I'm not going to say.
So, I love the thing that, because I played this now 7,000. The stances all feel so unique, and every time I play, I pick two different ones, and I'm like, oh, this feels like a fresh game. Like, it's, I'm still enjoying learning new things with them. But in the demo you're going to play, you haven't got to it yet, but there's a cave you should check out, and stuff's in it, and you'll that's the one I want people to hit. So.
Honestly, I just want to ask what you want people to walk away when they roll credits. Like, what do you want them to feel and think?
I want them to cry tears of joy. I want them to feel satisfied. I want them to leave the game and then play New Game Plus. Just being like, that was an amazing, like, authentic Star Wars story, and kind of wanting more a bit, and just feeling like, oh, I customized my saber exactly how I wanted it. I found all these cool creatures and enemies, and just leaving with the sense of like, that was a really fun game. I know we always say, like, oh, we want it to be, but like, that's kind of what I want, because that's what I get out of it when I'm done. Like, that was super fun. That's what I still like about our game.
I want people to say, I want to explore the stuff I missed.
Yeah.
I want people to even when they roll credits, want to go back and like check out that one cave that they forgot to get. I want people to. I think the exploration is so rich in this game, and it's still fun for me to play.
Yeah.
Having played it, like Blair said, 7,000 times, I still have fun playing through the game. So I hope that's what Blair's into.
Obviously, you two are really big Star Wars fans. How does it feel to be somebody's Star Wars memory? Like, y'all are going to be, like, for a lot of people, you may be the first time, or were the first time, the first one. Then, how does it feel to be that?
It's super surreal.
It's very strange to be on the side of it as somebody who burnt out the Return of the Jedi tape back then. So, yeah, my parents are very proud. They finally understand a little bit of what I do now because it's Star Wars. So it feels amazing to be part of the IP.
Yes.
It's awesome. Yeah. So I'm very humbled that people feel that way.
Awesome. Well, thank you all
thank
so
you
much for your time.